and welcome to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Circle Podiatry, and it's my aim to raise your awareness of just how important your feet are, to give you the solutions to your foot and leg problems, and to teach you how to prevent future problems. So grab a cuppa, relax, sit back and put your feet up and enjoy learning about the one part of your body that often gets forgotten. That's right, it's your feet. Hello and welcome once again to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio. My name is Peter Alton. I'm your host this week and every week, and I hope that you get value from listening to the show. It's all about what your feet can mean to you, how they can go wrong, how you can prevent them going wrong, how if they do go wrong, you might be able to fix it yourself, and how if you can't fix it yourself, you may need to see an expert, a podiatrist, who can help you to fix it. Now, sometimes it can be the feet themselves which need fixing. Sometimes the feet can lead to problems elsewhere in the body. And then that's the case, then you may need to fix the way that the feet are functioning. May not be apparent that they're the problem. They may not be hurting you, but they could be causing a problem higher up. Now, podiatrists have a reputation for being foot experts because we are, but actually our profession is involved in the whole lower limb, not just the feet. If I just read out to you the description as given by the College of Podiatry over here in the UK, it will give you an idea of what a podiatrist should do and therefore what you can expect. Obviously, each podiatrist might specialise in a particular area of interest to themselves, and therefore it would be wise before you go booking in to see someone to check that they are actually an expert in the area of concern that you have. Anyway, listen to what the College of Podiatry has to say about how a podiatrist can help you and what a podiatrist does. And there's a reason that I'm giving you this information. So, what does a podiatrist do? The role of the podiatrist is to prevent or correct deformity and maintain normal mobility and function in the feet and lower limbs. Podiatrists provide the basis for the ideal walking style and posture and identify any medical or surgical condition that may require further referral and management. They also relieve pain, treat infections and skin, nail, soft tissue and connective tissue problems. This is done in conjunction with other members of a multidisciplinary healthcare team. Podiatrists can also give expert advice on footwear, so it's a good idea when you go along, as we always say at my practice, bring some shoes with you, and not just the brand new shoes that are still in the box, although you may want to get an idea of whether or not you've bought the right one so you can take them back. But we want to see, or certainly when I recommend people come to me, I recommend they bring with them a pair of shoes that are quite old, because I want to see the wear marks on them. I think it was last week's show, or the week before maybe, where I talked a little bit about car tires and the wear on the soles of shoes, and how a comparison can be made that tires wear unevenly because there is something else going wrong within the car. And likewise, shoes wear unevenly if there's something going wrong in the body. So we want to check whether or not that's a foot problem. It could be a hip problem. It could be a limb length discrepancy. It can be a whole host of reasons why shoes might wear down abnormally. So please bear that in mind when you have an ache or a pain, not just in your foot, but in your lower limb. Because if you have got pains there, then podiatrists are the people to see. Now, also, we actually often help with other issues as well. We don't set out, we don't claim that we are going to fix your back or your shoulder because we are experts in the lower limbs. But it stands to reason that if you get your lower limb sorted out, very often other problems will sort out as well. Think about it. If you've got a building that you're trying to build, you want to make sure the foundations are good and strong and solid. I mean, the Bible itself talks about building your house on the rock, not on sand. You want to build it on a good, solid structure, on a solid foundation. And if your foundations, your feet, aren't very strong, correct, then they are going to cause problems higher up. And just as a building might start showing cracks on the top floor, likewise, your problem might be in the foundations of your body, but you might get a problem much higher up. And quite often we deal with problems with the feet and find that people get benefits right up in their shoulder or in their neck. Even clicking jaws can sometimes change. That's something which actually is not that infrequent. I do get people sharing that is something that they benefited from as an extra to the treatment that we're providing. So that's what a podiatrist does. Okay, and you might be thinking as well, if you're new to the show, you may not have heard us talking before about, well, what about a chiropodist? Why don't I see a chiropodist? Well, got news for you. Just to make your life simple, a chiropodist and a podiatrist, it's an interchangeable term. So in actual fact, we're the same, a chiropodist or a podiatrist. It's all very confusing. It used to be some people would claim to be chiropodists, some podiatrists. Even more, just to add even more confusion to it, when I qualified 32 years ago, I qualified as a chiropodist. We were at the Chelsea School of Chiropody back in those days, or chiropody as some people pronounce it, but it should be pronounced chiropody. My certificate actually says a diploma in podiatric medicine. So even back then, although we were called chiropodists, it was podiatric medicine that we were given the diploma in. So that is just gives you an idea of the confusion that there has been in our profession in the past. We had chiropodists, then we brought in the name podiatrist. Some people kept on the name chiropodists. Well, actually, our professional body, main professional body over here in the UK, the College of Podiatry, we changed the name from the College of Podiatry and Chiropody to the College of Podiatry because we want to make things a bit more simple for you. Chiropody and podiatry, it is an interchangeable term. You can use whichever one you want, but for the most part, we're trying to use the term podiatry now. Okay, so that hopefully clears that up. Now, the reason I wanted just to clear this all up and make sure that you're aware going forwards in this show that actually podiatrists do deal with the lower limbs is because I want to talk to you about something today, which is something I've personally had a problem with in the past, only on one occasion, but it was quite a debilitating event, shall we say. I've shared with you on the show before my challenge that I was given back in 2016, and I was given it in 2017 and I achieved it in 2018. That's right. And that was to run a marathon. And I was given this challenge to do it on the 20th of May in 2017. 20th of May 2018 was the date I actually did it on. So I literally gave myself 365 days of getting ready for that event. And in the end, I ended up having to run it by myself because I had an injury prior to it. Now, that's not the injury I want to talk to you about. On the day I did it, I felt strong. I felt like I could do it. Probably hadn't trained as much. I was a bit behind because of that injury. But I decided I'd get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, quite a warm summer's day, May the 20th was then. And I went out and I ran my 42 kilometers. I say ran in loosest sense of the term. I certainly ran the first 30 odd, but then I got this excruciating pain coming in both of my knees. I'd never run that far before, so I assumed that it was just overuse the bottom line is that's what it was. I want to talk to you about that specific problem today because I've never really shared with people that I did get that during that. I've told people that I walked pretty much the last 9 kilometers of that marathon. I literally got back to, because I was running quite close to where I live. I didn't want to go too far away in case I didn't make it. You know, that's how unsure I was when I went out at 7 o'clock. I planned that the end part of it would be running around a local park doing some laps. And I had, I think it was 10 laps of the local park to do. It's 1 kilometre exactly around this local park. So my last 10 laps were going to be around that. And I thought I'll have my family there to cheer me on. Did I? Heck, they didn't even come out. But anyway, that's another story. But I ended up pretty much having to walk those last 9 laps of the park. I did manage to jog a little bit in between, but the most of it was walking. And it was because of this pain on the outside of my knee. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So you want to know what it is, don't you? Well, it is called...
We're going to take a quick break from the show now, so please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears. Beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You're listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. So let's get on with the show again. Back to our interview. So you want to know what it is, don't you? Well, it is called iliotibial band syndrome. Okay, it refers to the iliotibial band, which is a band of fascia, which is strong connective tissue that runs down, in this case, runs down from the hip down to the outside of the leg, just below the knee. And it's a very strong band of tissue, and it has various muscles which act upon it, the main one being the tensor fascia lati, which originates on the pelvis and then runs into this band. And then there's all these other muscles as well which act upon it. So the gluteus maximus, the gluteus medius, those are two of the main ones that act upon it from within the buttock, of course. And there's various things that can go wrong which can cause this iliotibial band syndrome. Okay, so first of all, I think we ought to just talk about where the pain tends to show up. You can get pain right up at the hip end of this iliotibial band, but the most likely, the most common, certainly that I see, is down on the outside edge of the knee. And the reason for that is that this very strong band, as I said, it comes down the outside edge of the thigh. In fact, if you've got skinny legs, my legs are quite skinny. It's about the only part of me that is skinny. But if you feel down the outside edge of your thigh, often the best position to be in actually to feel it is to have your foot flat on the ground and you're sitting down and your knee not quite at right angles, so your foot's a little bit further forward. And then if you feel just before you get to your knee, so above your knee, you will feel on the outside edge about midway down from the top of your leg, you will feel this band, this tough band. You can feel it up your leg. That's, you know, as I say, I'm pretty skinny in that area, so I can feel it. And it actually, if you straighten your leg, then you'll feel it coming down the side of your knee. Now, the problem with this is that it comes down that outside edge of the leg, and it has to pass by the end of the femur. Now, the femur, of course, is the main bone in the thigh, or it's the only bone really in the thigh. But if you think of it, the shape of a dog bone, the ends of it are bigger, aren't they, than the shaft of it. And, of course, that is the case with the femur, and it's a pretty strong bone. And it has, at the end of it, these two bulging bits of bone called the condyles. And the lateral condyle on the lateral side of the leg, the outside of the leg, is quite pronounced. And this band has to run over that so that it can then insert into the lateral side of the tibia. Now, the problem there is that the tibia happens to be on the other side of the leg. So the iliotibial band is coming down the outside edge of the thigh, and the tibia is the bone on the inside of the leg. It's thankfully attaches to the outside portion of the tibia, but it still means that it has to transverse around that femoral condyle and come across a little bit to attach into that lateral part of the tibia. So if you can picture it, you've got this tight band of tissue which is running from right the way up on the hip all the way down the outside edge of your thigh, and then it has to go over this bump in the femur, they're called the lateral condyle of the femur, and then attach into the lateral condyle of the tibia. Now, it's at that point over the lateral condyle of the femur where a lot of friction takes place. And in my case, when I was running this marathon, I'd never had this problem before because I'd never run that distance before. But what happened was there was getting more and more friction taking place over that area, and it became very inflamed. And what you get often with these, where there's muscles and tendons and going over the top of a bone, with that movement that's taking place, that friction that's taking place, quite often you get a sac of fluid forming called a bursa, and that can become very much inflamed, as can the actual tendon, the iliotibial band in this case. So hopefully that's given you a bit of an insight into what the iliotibial band is and where it is particularly. And some of you might be thinking, oh, actually, yeah, when I run, I do get some discomfort down there. And quite often, actually, if you are a runner, it can start flaring up, you know, maybe 5-6 minutes into your run. It can start to become a little bit irritated. But having said that, for me, it was after, you know, 30 kilometers, quite a long way into my run. I won't say how many hours that was into it, but it was quite a few. So it's this repeated trauma that takes place over that outside edge of the head of the femur there. We're going to take a break now and have a song, and then afterwards we're going to come back and I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit more about what can go wrong, you know, why, what are some of the things that can lead to this inflammation, to this irritation of the iliotibial band, and often causing this bursitis as well. What can be causing it? And also, of course, what can we do to maybe prevent it? So if you haven't had it before and you do run a bit, and I must say that it is generally in runners, you can get it if you're not a runner, but it does tend to be much more likely in runners. I think pretty much all of the cases I've seen over my 32 years have been in runners. So yeah, you can look at what can prevent it, but also, of course, we want to look at what can fix it, because there probably are some of you out there who have at this very minute got this problem. It's the second most common cause of knee pain in runners. So if you are a runner, you've got a bit of knee pain on the outside edge of your knee, this is, then it's quite likely to be the iliotibial band syndrome. And we will, as I say, after the song, have a little bit more of a look into that. And my choice of song today, you know how I try to get a bit corny sometimes with names of songs associated with whatever the topic is. Well, we're talking about the iliotibial band, so I thought, well, actually, you know what, I can choose any band there is and have a song by it. Anyway, I look for names of bands with the word band in their name, and the one that I came up with was a song by the Tom Robinson Band, although I actually think that this song may have been done as a solo artist, Tom Robinson. The name of the song is called War Baby. I remember it from when I was at school. I hope you enjoy it. Tom Robinson Band and War Baby.
Only the very young and the very beautiful can be so aloof, hanging out with the boys, all swagger and poise. I don't even care what other people are there. I just stare and stare and stare. I see your shadow in the swimming pool. I see your face in the shaving mirror. Time and time and time again, I follow your footsteps so quietly up the back stairs. And I hope and I pray you ain't never gonna find me there. Smooth skin and tenderness, long ago on a dark night. Wish I could see you once again, just to remember that it was true. I wanna be still beside you, quiet and still beside you, listening to your breathing and feeling your warmth again. I could stand another 10 years of this fighting, all this stabbing and wounding, only getting my own back. I don't want to batter you to your feet and knees and elbows when I'm kneeling by the candle at the foot of my own bed. Corresponding disasters every night on the TV, sickening reality keep gripping me in its guts. All my friends talk and joke and laugh about Armageddon, but like a nightmare, it's still waiting there at the end of each and every day. I could stand another 10 years of this fighting, always stabbing and wounding, only getting my own back. Later that same evening, when we were out in the car talking, I suddenly wondered who the hell it was we were trying to fool. 'Cause you were the first one I ever wanted, and it's you I come home to at the end of every day, like a mother sucking baby.
That was Tom Robinson and the song War Baby. You're listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio. Hope you enjoyed that song. We are talking today about the iliotibial band, and more specifically, iliotibial band syndrome. And we're going to get into it in a little bit more detail now. And hopefully, if any of you are suffering from it, you'll hopefully find some advice here and some tips. And if you are not sure if you're suffering from it, hopefully it will become clear to you, or more clear to you, whether or not it is likely to be iliotibial band syndrome. Research is not really that clear yet on exactly what goes on behind the scenes with regard to it, exactly what the cause is. But it's pretty obvious that it is the repeated flexing and extension, so bending of the knee whilst doing exercise of some form, that is one of the chief factors to bring iliotibial band syndrome on. I personally believe that it is multifactorial, as is the case for many, many conditions of the lower limb. But there's usually more than one thing coming together, conspiring together. I often term it as being a perfect storm. There's a perfect storm of problems to create the issue that you develop. For me, for my running, for my marathon that I did that time, and when I got this iliotibial band syndrome, it was, you know, the perfect storm there, really. The main factor that just tipped me over the edge was the fact that I was running much more than I had ever done before. I think prior to that, I'd probably done the maximum was about 24 kilometres. And this pain in my iliotibial band came on at about 30 or so kilometres into my marathon. So the bottom line is, some of you are going to be in discomfort. Some of you maybe have already had this before and you don't want to get it again. Some of you have never had it, but believe me, prior to that marathon, I'd never had any problems with it either. And if you're going to set off to do something like that, the last thing you want is to get it. So let's see if we can learn a little bit about how to prevent it, about what we can do about it, and really just to help everyone listening on the show to keep comfortable in that respect. So what they do know is that it seems to be friction between the different layers in that area, that as the knee bends and the iliotibial band crossing over that femoral condyle, that the tissues in that area get friction within them. And sometimes that can form a bursa. A bursa is a sac of fluid that is usually there, comes to try and protect underlying structures such as bone from a tendon gliding over it. But that can become inflamed. Remember, when you have itis on the end of a name, so bursitis is inflammation of that bursa. And you can get inflammation of other tissues in that area, aggravation also of the nerves in the area. So there can be a whole different range of things that can be causing the actual discomfort that you get. And the pain can actually be referred up the leg a little bit as well, so up the thigh, should I say, towards the hip and referred into the hip. So there can be a number of things. But the epicenter of the pain is on the outside edge of the knee, where that iliotibial band crosses over the bony prominence there. So you're probably thinking, well, am I at risk? I've never had this before. Am I at risk? Well, there's various things that can increase your risk. Okay. So number one, I want to talk about is activity types that people can do, because there's different types of activities that can really bring on iliotibial band. And of course, as my example of my marathon suggests, distance runners are particularly prone to it. So if you run a long distance, you are more likely to get it, particularly if that running is done on very uneven ground. So obviously, if you're running on uneven ground, then there's going to be more lateral movement of the leg. And it's particularly if you're going downhill as well, because downhill puts a lot more force on the foot, causes the foot to probably pronate a bit more than it would do otherwise, and that also can cause this unusual movement within the knee, which can aggravate it more. Cycling is continuously bending the knee and straightening the knee, so again, cyclists can get it. And actually, I do vaguely recall getting extreme pain there when I did London to Brighton once, many, many moons ago. And I think I was possibly even at college then. And I didn't really associate it with that. And after I finished cycling, a day or so later, I was better anyway, because I didn't do that much cycling afterwards. So cycling's one, rowing, skiing, soccer. So all these activities, and probably some others as well, can cause problems in that area. So bottom line is you're doing exercise on it and you're bending your knee a lot. That's the likelihood. Activity type, that's what we talked about there. What about the amount, though? Because that is critical. Just as I said about my marathon running, how many miles you're doing per day, whether you're having rest days, the amount of exercise that you are doing can also be a factor in bringing this on for you. But then there's other issues as well. Other issues. Not everybody that runs marathons, not everybody that does ultra marathons, that does long distances, not everybody that runs on uneven ground or downhill ground. I can hear some of you saying, oh, he's talking rubbish, I can do that. Yeah, many of you can. But if there are underlying issues, that's when factors can just tip you over. Like I said, perfect storm. You can get the increased activity, but if you've got a problem, maybe you're bow-legged, maybe your feet over-pronate or pronate at the wrong time in your gait, maybe you've got one leg longer than the other, maybe you've got very weak hip or gluteal muscles, maybe your core muscles aren't strong. There's a whole host of things which can come together to create that perfect storm. And being a podiatrist, we often do, well, we look into these things generally, but pronation is one of the factors that is often a massive thing for us to address. Also, leg length difference. And I've had people who have had this sort of discomfort in their iliotibial band who have had fantastic results just by changing either the footwear that they are wearing, but more often than not, actually addressing their gait with special inserts in their shoes, things called orthotics, which we create once we have done analysis of their gait and have done an assessment of their feet and lower limbs. And the forces, therefore, are changed. When we give orthotics, we have to get the person to wear them in very gradually. We don't just give them and off they go walking all day or even, you know, doing a 10K run the first day if they get it. We would get them to wear them in gradually. When I give somebody, a runner, orthotics, I would be telling them initially to wear it for walking and then initially when they start using it for running to be very careful how much they use it for. And I normally suggest if they're going to do a 10K run, they don't just go and do an out and back 10K run. They go around the local park. Yeah, my local park's 1 kilometre in around it. Do 10 laps of that, but make sure you can stop somewhere and take the insoles out after 2 or 3 laps, and then the following day after 5 or 6 laps, and you build it up gradually. Anyway, I'm digressing somewhat. Back to the iliotibial band. How do you know that you have got this problem? How do you know you've got a problem with the iliotibial band, this iliotibial band syndrome? Well, it is pain on the outside of the knee. And it doesn't have to be both. It can be just one. Sometimes it is both. But I think probably more often than not, it is actually just the one. In my case, because it was doing too much too quickly for both, both of them came on. But often if there's a biomechanical issue, it can be either both or it can be just an individual leg. If it's a leg length difference issue, then often it is more in one than in the other. And you get this burning or aching feeling in the area on the outside of the knee there, and it can spread up the thigh, as I mentioned earlier. Sometimes it can lessen with rest, and even walking can be comfortable sometimes. But then as soon as you do exercise again, it either comes on straight away or it comes on as the exercise progresses. And sometimes also actually going up and down stairs can put a lot of force in that area whilst the knee's bent, and that can aggravate it too. The point at which you feel it when you're running is when you're striking the ground. Okay, so it's not necessarily all the time going to be painful as you're running, but as you hit the ground, that extra force going up there can bring on the discomfort. So hopefully you now know whether you have it or not, and you'll have it in the back of your mind in the future, and hopefully you'll be taking some of the tips we're going to be talking about now. We're going to talk about what you can do to treat it, but then we're also going to talk about how you can prevent it as well.
We're going to take a quick break from the show now, so please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You're listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. So let's get on with the show again. Back to our interview. In fact, I think we'll start with the prevention, because some of you are sitting there listening to this and thinking, well, I haven't had it and I don't want to get it. Well, let's talk about prevention. And those of you that have had it, it very often can reoccur. So you should be pricking up your ears as well. How can you prevent it from reoccurring? Okay. So the key thing is, when you are starting a sport or when you're getting back into a sport after getting over this, you need to do it very gradually, okay? Get it, build up gradually. It's very, very tempting if you're a keen runner to do too much too quickly. Gradual is the key. Be patient. You know, they say patience is a virtue. Be patient and get back into it gradually. Check where you are running as well. If the ground is very uneven, then that can be an issue. And particularly if you're running on a road where there is a camber and you're going for a run 2 miles along this country road and there is a definite slope on that road to one side, then that is going to put more strain on the leg on the lower side. And you want to be aware of that. Try to find places that are not necessarily flat, but that don't have too much of a lateral camber to them, at least whilst you are getting your strength back again and building up your mileage again. Later on, when you're stronger, when maybe you've had your feet assessed and you know what's going on there, then running on a more uneven territory may well be suitable for you. But you need to check into that. Personally, I do believe that as long as you've got the right footwear, you've been assessed, you've got orthotics if necessary, that actually running on uneven ground is actually quite good for strengthening things, as long as you're not on crazy, crazy ground. And even I suppose some people would argue that that they find that is brilliant for them, you know, running across moorland and rocks and what have you. It can be a bit more dangerous, yeah, it can be better to run on slightly uneven ground than it is to run on flat, 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 hard surfaces such as roads all the time. A bit of variation does do the body some wonders. But you do need to be strong and you do need to be stretched. And that does come into our treatment for this condition for iliotibial band syndrome, which is that we should be strengthening as well as stretching. So let's talk a little bit about getting yourself sorted out if you have developed this problem, okay? So first of all, what I would say is come and see a podiatrist, get assessed to see whether it is actually that you've got or whether it's something else. It could be something else. It could be arthritic problems in the knee. It could be a meniscus tear. It could be ligament issues. It could be a whole host of different things that are going on in that area. So go and see a podiatrist and get checked out. Maybe before you go and see the podiatrist, just check that they are a musculoskeletal expert, but they are somebody that is looking at people's gait and is interested in that type of field. Because there are very many areas of the feet and some podiatrists specialise in other areas. Come prepared. If you're going to go to a podiatrist, come prepared with some notes. To any health professional, really, go with some notes. You know, what have you experienced? You are the person living with your condition. The podiatrist, the health professional, can only learn what you tell them and what they can see on your knee at that particular point in time. They cannot tell what's been going on other times. I always say this to my clients, with, you know, if they've got diabetes, to share with their GP what the problems are that they're experiencing, what things are affecting their blood sugars that they know of. So again, with your feet, what is causing the problem? You know, what are you actually experiencing every day? When does the pain come on? How much is the pain? Give the pain a score out of 10, and jot all this down and take these notes with you. It will really help the podiatrist so much to understand what you're going through. And in fact, even if you can email it to the podiatrist beforehand, that's even better. I like to, if possible, patients to send me this stuff in beforehand. It just helps to have it all there printed out in front of you. If you are jotting down some notes, ideally print them rather than actually writing it in your handwriting, which I'm sure is wonderful, but if it's anything like mine, print it. So when you go and see a podiatrist, now this could be either in clinic or it could be virtual, first thing they're going to want to know is the history. That's why you want to take those notes. How long have you had it? Was there a specific cause? When does it come on? How much pain are you in? Have you found anything that can relieve it? All these types of questions give us some information about the background and the likely cause of the issue, and therefore the likely issue that you've actually got. Virtual clinics can help. We can look at it. Ideally, if you are in a virtual clinic, if you are contacting us by the internet, then it is probably best to have somebody there with you who can hold the camera, who can point it to your knee, and we can get them to do some things with us to be able to help. So is it swollen? Is it hot? Can they palpate an area and find where the most pain is? What's the range of motion like? Strength, that's a bit of an issue with testing that, but you can still get a bit of an indication of strength on a virtual assessment if you've got somebody else with you. Tenderness, certainly. But ideally, it's best in clinic, of course. So if you can get into a clinic, then do so. If not, then hop on a virtual call. You can hop on one with me if you want. We do have that availability at Circle Podiatry. Go to our website, www.circlepodiatry.co.uk, and you'll see there is an option to book an appointment, and there is an option within there to book a virtual appointment. And I'll be more than happy to connect up with you by video and see if we can get your problem sorted out remotely, or at least point you in the right direction for that. So moving on from that initial part of that appointment where we're taking the history and where we're doing that assessment, we now need to think about, well, what are we going to actually do in the way of a treatment? And I should point out, actually, I suppose, that if there is any doubt as to whether it is the iliotibial band, we might actually send you off or suggest you go to get an MRI or an X-ray just to make sure that we are absolutely certain what we're ruling out, that there isn't anything else going on. So what can you do to treat this? If it is the iliotibial band syndrome, what can we do? Well, there's three different things, really, that I think we need to try and do. We need to reduce the actual condition that you've got the problem with, but we also need to reduce the causes of it so that you can get better from it. And we need to increase the strength as well. And increasing the strength is not just of that iliotibial band. It's actually the strength of the muscles supporting it and around it, particularly up in the gluteals as well. So we may well, as podiatrists, actually refer you on as well to a physio who can do more work on the core and on the hip and the gluteals. Give you more information on that. So initially, what we would say is we need to try to get the inflammation in that area down. And the likelihood is that we will have done, if you're in clinic, we will have done temperature assessment of that and checked it against the other knee, and probably will find that that area is hotter on the bad knee. So we would be suggesting that you do RICE therapy. So RICE stands for R for rest, I for ice, C for compression, and E for elevation. So basically, you sit your feet up a little bit, rest in it. You don't get into doing the exercise that you've that's caused it for a while. You rest it. Put some ice on it as well. Ice not straight onto it, because we don't want to cause a cold burn. You wrap it up, or you get a special device that you can buy for it, ice pack. You put the ice on there, and maybe have an elastic bandage on there for some compression as well. We also suggest taking non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, so such as Voltarol or ibuprofen. Of course, as long as you are able to take that, don't take it if you are not able to. And if you aren't, you may still be able to use one of the gels and rubbing it into that area. It is a relatively superficial area, so some of that will be absorbed in and it can do good there. If things are really bad, really aren't responding straight away, if they're not responding in the first few days to a week, then we might decide that actually, you know what, we want to look into having a corticosteroid injection into the area. Particularly works well if there is a bursitis there, then they can inject into that and that can bring down that inflammation quite a lot. What we want to do regarding the causes is to assess you to see whether we can improve your gait, as I mentioned earlier, with orthotics. We want to help you with stretching exercises. We want to help you with the tightness. Okay, so stretching can help with that. And there's various stretches. I'm not going to try and go into it here because it's quite difficult to explain on audio. There are some videos that I'm putting together at the moment. But in the meantime, if you want to have a look at some that I refer to sometimes, which are on healthline.com, and look up the iliotibial band, and you'll see a lady there going through some of the strengthening exercises and stretching exercises. Another one, it's not actually mentioned there, but another one which can be used is to get a hold of a foam roller. And a foam roller you use on the iliotibial band. You can use it on many muscles, calf muscles, etc. as well, but obviously we're talking about the iliotibial band at the moment, and you literally have the foam roller, you put it on the floor, and you would be, again, I don't want you to do it just by listening to me, I'd rather you find it online, but you would be lying on your side and rolling that band under, so your body, your leg is on the foam roller, and then you're rolling along it, and it's giving a deep stretch and massage to that area. Can work wonders. If you are someone who is sporty, then I would strongly recommend getting hold of a foam roller. Brilliant piece of kit. Quite uncomfortable whilst you're doing it, but it does do a lot of good. I'm going to finish by saying, if you have got this, then please do deal with it. Do tackle it. See a professional. Get treating it. Because if it gets really, really extreme, then you may even need a surgical resolution to it. It's not that common, but it can get to that point. I hope it's been useful today. I really hope that you've found value here, both if you've got the problem and also to prevent the problem. Remember, prevention is much better than cure. Do go and see a podiatrist. Get checked out. Come and see me virtually or in clinic at Circle Podiatry, and I'd be more than happy to help you out. We just finished talking about that foam roller there, and so we're going to finish out with a song right now, and the song is by Status Quo, and it's called Rolling Home. So I hope you enjoy it and have a fantastic week ahead. that's all we've got time for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say, have a fantastic week. Keep safe, keep those legs and feet moving, and don't forget to tune in again with your friends next week.